From the United Nations Development Program, you are listening to the Learning for Nature podcast, where you will learn about nature, people, and sustainability from the indigenous peoples and local communities that are at the forefront of sustainability efforts. Hello, everyone. My name is Charlotte.
And I'm Camila.
And we are your hosts for today. We are here with Diana Blanco, a community member and group coordinator of the Uru team in Bolivia. Diana, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. And my community also appreciates this very much.
Uru team is one of the 10 winners of the Equator Prize of 2023, an award that honors the remarkable efforts of indigenous peoples and local communities for their innovative nature-based solutions to sustainable development challenges. Now, without further ado, let's dive right into the remarkable work of this extraordinary organization.
So our first question is, we're curious to hear about your personal journey and motivation for founding the Uru team. So we were wondering if you could share with us the story behind your organization's name and what inspired you to recognize the need for change and start this organization.
So we are community that depends on one ancient, very important lake, the Uru Lake. This lake now is in danger, and we understand has indigenous communities that everything is connected. If something fails and it impacts on everybody, the lake is a source of life for us. Our ancestors also taught us to be proactive, to learn from nature. They said that nature provides us everything and also solutions. And that's why we implemented this solution that is based on the knowledge that we got from nature, from our ancestors, from our elders, and from times ago.
Interesting. So how big is your community? How many people is involved?
The communities that are directly, let's say, in contact or depending directly from the lake were many. Now, sadly, because of climate change, contamination from the city, from wastewater discharge or mining activities, the lake has been like getting smaller and smaller, and the communities also have been disappearing. People don't have more opportunity to fish, to do agricultural activities. We are like a community around 200 or maybe like a 50 or maybe around 100 families. But the goal also is to, as we fight for bringing restoring the lake, also to bring back the communities so life can come back.
That is so interesting, Diana. So your organization was awarded the Equator Prize because of the nature-based solution you created for lake pollution in Uru Lake. So I was wondering if maybe you could tell us a little bit more about the nature-based solution you created to protect the lake and why it became polluted in the first place.
The pollution, it came from a bad management of disposals of garbage or mining discharges. Communities affected by that, we know, well, sadly, we don't have many opportunities to get help from other places or authorities, and we decided to get help from nature itself. So that's why we came back to our plants, our native plants. So that is where Totora comes in play. So Totora is a native aquatic plant of the region. Usually it was used for making boats or for the roof of our houses. Now We used it for absorbing the heavy metal, the minerals or the contamination that is dissolved in the water that is being discharged into the lake. We learned from nature, from our ancestors, that it absorbs those bad elements, like those heavy minerals that contaminate the water. So the thing is, these plants, they need at the beginning, at least, when to be like floating. So that's where we needed to solve the issue about and how they are going to be floating there when we transplanted from one place where they naturally grow to these contaminated channels. And we try to recycle like some material, like some wood or some stuff that can help us to make some kind of raft that we place on top of it, the totoras, the little ones, so they can at least at the beginning be floating there, and they can stabilize, and then when they grow, then they are fine. But that is how we approach in our project the use of totora.
Wow, that's very fascinating. And I was wondering about something you mentioned earlier, about how your ancestors teach you that everything in nature is connected. Could you tell us some more about this?
When I was little, my dad used to like tell us stories, tales about like how before the mountains were alive, or how the weather used to talk with the animals. So, for example, in that, they used to tell us in the totoras, when the ducks come and they make their nest. If the nest is like above the water level, that means that a lot of rain is coming, because the clouds and the rain talk to the animals and tell them to make their nest a little bit above, so it's not flooded. So then I remember I used to wonder like, oh, wow, and it's so sad that they just want to talk to animals and not to us. And then my dad used to say, oh, it's not because of that, it's just because they also talk to us, just that we lost the ability to listen deep. And
Wow.
I remember we used to be like, we were little, we used to be scared inside their room. My grandparents used to hold his little guitar and go outside and start like singing, and he was saying like, guys, don't be afraid. It's just that they want to tell us that, you know, they are excited because something good is going to happen, because now after the rain, the plants are going to grow and everything is going to be green. And well, sometimes when my dad used to say, even the rocks talk, maybe we cannot listen or understand, but they talk between them. And also the river that goes through the rocks or to the stones, they also understand each other, because they say like, if everything is connected, everything is important. So if you respect and let the tree grow, the trees grow, they are gonna help you later to clean the air, give you shadow, and etc. And you also respect and take care of the animals, they are gonna help you later to have like for your cloth, for your nutrition, or etc., or help you to carry stuff from one place to another. So that's how, I guess, well, maybe I'm wrong, but I understood that everything is connected, and everything matters. We as humans are part of everything, but not the center. We're just part of it, and we should, in that sense, respect and care of each other. And that's why we are trying also to do with the project with our lake.
Wow, I really love that so much. I just got goosebumps all over my body because I was like, wow, it's so beautiful.
And Diana, so also something really important that is part of Uru Uru team is that it has a strong emphasis on involving youth, young people. So we were wondering, why do you think that it is important to have a youth voice inside your organization?
Our parents, because of the need of survival, they have been migrating, and some still fight to be in the communities, but there are not much resources. So I think as youth, we can kind of help them as a bridge for keeping our traditions, our customs, what we learn, what they learn from their parents or their grandparents, and try to keep that alive. The social media, or the stuff that maybe we as youth understand better than our parents, we're able to connect along many people from the community, and they tell to their parents about what is the project and get more involvement. The one thing that unites us is our lake, so it's good to have everybody involved.
I love how you're so concerned about preserving your elders' traditions. So now that you have won the Equator Prize, what are your plans moving forward?
Although there are like advances on the gender equality for Indigenous women, it was very little, I would say. Although the women were the more involved, the more taking part in the project, leading the raft wielding, we now can see more support and get more more sisters involved, and also help them to train more and to learn more about our community gardens that we started, because we needed a way also to support more and more implementation of Totora's drafts. So we see there an opportunity, and also we envision to have more chances for dealing now with also one issue that is affecting the lake so much, that is the plastic that I said, and the garbage disposal, because we try to recycle the most that we can, but there are still too much trash that is killing the lake. So we hope that we can start working on those things that are urgent also and important. And we see this as something very important for us, for starting to take more action, including more women, more people from our community, keep the involvement from our elders, from their health, from their wisdom. And we truly hope that this project can grow, and then we can get more help, and we can make true the dream of restoring our lake, so our grandparents or our parents can see that, and that would be great. We dream about that, and now with this help from Equator Prize is so important, and we are much hopeful than we were before.
That is great to know, and we're sure that moving forward, you will continue to protect this beautiful ecosystem positively and achieve great things.
Yeah.
And you know, in that line, Diana, we were wondering if you would like to give out a message to the young people who will be listening to this podcast, and maybe they want to start their own environmental initiative or organization. What would you say to them? Maybe give them a motivational message.
Okay, I'll try. When you are young, you feel that you are in between, because you feel that you don't know too much, you don't have enough wisdom to start or lead some group. But also, you feel that you have the energy, the conviction, and you want to change. Sometimes, yes, there are like barriers that there are doors that you knock but they don't open, or you look for support and you get a no response, and that discourage you. And but I guess that's where being young is good, because you know that you can keep trying. Keep trying, keep knocking doors. Help is gonna come if you fight from your heart. I hope it helps.
That's beautiful. I'm even inspired myself right now.
Yeah, me too. It's really, really inspiring what you're doing, Diana.
We have one world, and we should do the best for living it better than how we found it. I know that it's difficult, and I know that everybody has challenges, and sometimes it seems so hard, but you are not fighting alone. That there are people around the world who are fighting. I hope someday we connect each other and help each other in our own fights and or in our communal fights for better days. So yeah, and if you are there fighting, and you sometimes find struggles or anything, there are always somebody in some place in this world that is also trying to fight, that is giving their best too. So yeah, and if you want also to join us or to share experiences, we will be happy to. And yeah, everybody's welcome.
Thank you, Diana, so much.
Thank you so much.
As much as connected we are, is as much as the stronger we are. So thank you for the opportunity.
For more stories about sustainable development, please go to the Learning for Nature channel. Thank you for listening.